And I need ears to hear,
eyes to see,
and a heart to perceive.
You're about to talk to me.
In Jesus' name I pray. I want to take you to Galatians. And the press today was to use the preface of St. Paul. St. Paul is very special to my heart. And if you notice, he was very religious. And so are many denominational Christians. They're very religious. They are on a very strong press to serve and to do for God rather than a relationship with the Lord. So, in my background, I was brought up Roman Catholic as well. And so was this young man that's on there from Canada. And many of the others that are here. But the stress to me is God's plan to transform us doesn't leave us where we started. He didn't leave St. Paul where he started. St. Paul was very educated, the best of schools, the top teachers of the nation. So is your daughter-in-law. Educated. You are talking about people who really dedicated to getting to know how to function in the earth. I learned how to function in the earth for 27 years. And I learned to bow my knee to Jesus when I was 27. That's when I finally needed a Bible, because I had a problem. A lot of the religious stuff that I had brought up with wasn't working. What they said to do, I did, but it didn't work. Now, how many know if you have a vehicle and you have a key and you turn it and it never works, you're going to be questioning. And I was in a questioning space at that time. When I bowed my knee and was in front of my kitchen sink and said, "Yes, Jesus, come on in." And I didn't think it worked because nothing changed. And a few weeks later, I did it again. Well, that was, you know, my education to start a walk with the Lord. But I was very impatient. I even asked the priest to buy me a Bible. It had to be, you know, approved by the bishop. And I had so much good patience that I went down to the local drugstore and I bought a $3 Good News Bible and began to read on my own. Well, when I did, I learned that what I had been taught and what was written was two different things. Amen. And that did not sit well with me, okay? And I was very aggressive and very nosy, so obviously, like my friend John here, I could get into trouble very quickly, and I did. So, St. Paul gets into trouble here too. Okay? So in Galatians chapter 1, in the Passion Translation, I'm going to give you at least one particular piece that I think is important. And it says, "From Paul, an apostle." So I want to give you the footnote on that. The name Paul means little. Before his conversion was Saul, which means significant one. And I thought that's pretty cool. Or the sought after one. And Jesus is the one that changed his name, so he didn't have anything to do with it. What greater transformation takes place when we experience a profound change as Saul did? God transforms us from being important to being small in our own eyes. This is what the This is what qualified God's apostolic servant. So in order to be an apostle, you have to be a servant. You have to be ready to serve. You have to be ready to change your mind and not yell. Not to laugh at the squirt gun. Because, you know, they might use it again. I don't know. The word apostle means one who is sent on a mission or an ambassador. By biblical application or implication, an apostle carries the delegated authority of the one who sends him. Jesus Christ is the one who sends the person. Chosen Paul to be an apostle, to plant churches and to impart revelation of Christ and his true gospel, etc. So I'll back it up now. From Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, watch carefully, my apostleship was not granted to me by men. Wow. Okay? For I was appointed by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. All the brothers and sisters join with me as I write this letter to the churches throughout the region of central Turkey. That's where Galatian was. May God's undeserved kindness and total well-being that flows from our Father God and from the Lord Jesus be yours. He's the anointed one who offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And when you acknowledge that Jesus offered himself as a gift and a sacrifice for our sins, you've got the picture of salvation. He has rescued us from this evil world system and sets us free just as our Father God desired. May all the glory be to God alone throughout time and eternity. Verse 6, I am shocked over how quickly you have strayed away from the one who called you in the grace of the anointing. I changed the word the anointing there because it's the word Christ. I'm astounded that you now embrace a distorted gospel. Well, how do you get distorted? Because you go off on your own and you establish what you think rather than what the Word of God says. And when you learn enough about the Scriptures, you end up having a problem, just like my brother there. You hear a lie and it registers. And you immediately catch on, whoops, this isn't quite right. So God is interested in each of us discerning what's coming out of a leader, whether it's a priest, whether it's a rabbi, whether it's a pastor. You're going to get a knowing inside of you if it's his opinion or if it's what he's been taught versus the anointed of the Lord. So, I am astounded that you now embrace a distorted gospel, that is, a fake gospel. That is simply not true. There is only one gospel, the good news of Christ. Yet you have allowed those who mingle law with grace. When you mingle law with grace, what are you doing? You're taking and bringing something that you and I understand rather than what God spoke. He sent his son as a sacrifice for us. He paid the price for us to come to him. So, that's grace. That's something that you and I can't do. And he says, you mingle the law with grace to confuse you. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel different than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. Let me make it clear. Anyone, no matter who they are, that brings you a different gospel than the gospel that you have received, let them be condemned and cursed. I'm obviously not trying to flatter you or water down the message to be popular with men. But my supreme passion is to please God. When you get to see Holy Spirit at work and you're in the religious system, you're going to have a lot of passion when you get to know the truth, because when you use the truth and you speak the truth and you pray the truth, you get results. Rather than my experience with religion, which wasn't producing any results. And that's what gave me a crisis of faith. For if all I attempt to do is please people, I would fail to be a true servant of Christ. Now that is a piece of info. Okay? If all I attempt to do is please people, who am I serving? It's people that are my God. People are my Lord. It's no longer Him by His Spirit pushing you and saying, change your mind, buddy. Do what I told you to do. Go love that broken girl. Oh, but... Okay? Now, I know one thing for sure. John is going to be praying for that priest. Why? Go ahead. Did I spill something?
A little bit.
A little bit.
We've already been praying for both of them.
Why?
Because when you are a soldier of truth and you come across those that are in error, not because they've chosen to be in error, but have been deceived, empathy and mercy.
And mercy comes right in, yes. Mercy comes right in, and you're already praying for them. Because, again, you were exposed. And it was God's plan that put them there. Because you saw your wife was trying to guide you, but you didn't listen.
You were trying to guide me?
That was an option.
It was an option. All teasing aside, you're going to learn by experience.
Yep.
All right? And let's face it, I would have done the same thing. So I'm not accusing. How Paul became an apostle, verse 11. Beloved ones, let me repeat emphatically that the gospel entrusted to me, which is good news, by the way, was not given to me by any man. That's extremely important. No one taught me this revelation. Again, revelation. For it was given to me directly by the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool, John?
Yes, it is.
All right. It's worded the way that it was designed. Holy Spirit has the ability, because He's living inside of me, to unveil Jesus, to take the layers of deception away, to take the lies and the garbage that people teach. And they preach. I listened to a preacher the other day. 3 or 4 words came out of his mouth and I shut it off. I said, that isn't God. It's the wrong anointing. I could tell this person was loaded with anger. And throwing out instructions and brrrr, it's like motor mouth. There was no love in it at all. If there's no love in it, where is it coming from? God is love. Satan's kingdom runs on fear. So what was he all this yelling about? Didn't come from God. Verse 13. But now you have heard stories of how severely I harassed and persecuted Christians. That's what religious people do. They persecute Christians. And how systematically I endeavored to destroy God's church, all because of my radical devotion to the Jewish religion. My zeal and passion for the doctrines of Judaism distinguished me among my people, for I was far more advanced in my religious instructions than others of my age. So he was at the top of his class. Kind of cool. But then God called me by his grace and chose me from my birth to be his.
Whoa.
I remember reading this when I was around 25, 30. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. He said, you will later on. There is a gifting in all of us that brings us towards God because we were created to be like him. He was pleased, verse 16, to unveil his son in me so that I would proclaim him to the people of the world. After I had this encounter, I kept it a secret for a time or for some time, sharing it with no one. And I had no desire to run to Jerusalem and try to impress those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I withdrew into the Arabian desert. Then I returned to Damascus, where I had first encountered Jesus, and I remained there for 3 years until I eventually went up to Jerusalem and met the apostle Peter and stayed with him for a couple of weeks. The only other apostle I met during that time was Jacob, the Lord's brother. Everything I'm describing to you, I confess before God to be the absolute truth. After my stay in Jerusalem, I went to Syria and southeast Turkey, but I remained unknown to the churches in Judea. The only thing they heard about me was this: our former enemy, who once brutally persecuted us, is now preaching the good news of the faith that he tried to destroy. Because of the transformation that took place in my life, they praise God even more. Because of the transformation, meaning a person like you're describing, that has believed a whole bunch of information and wants to be a boy, or vice versa, wants to be a girl, and their basic nature was the opposite. It's because there is a need for transformation and for healing and for love. Now, you say, well, I've got people in my life. So did I. And so do I. What do? I do what John does. I pray for them. I ask God to reveal himself to them. Not to preach to them, because that's not going to work, but to love them. The more you love them, the greater the value of your acceptance of who Jesus is. Chapter 2, I'm just going to give you a little bit because I think that's what's required. 14 years later, I returned to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas and Titus, my co-workers. God gave me a clear revelation again to go and confer with the other apostles concerning the message of grace. So the message of grace had to be worked on by St. Paul. He was having a challenge. I was preaching to the Gentiles. I spoke privately with those who were viewed as senior leaders of the church, wanting to make certain that my labor and ministry for the Messiah had not been based on a false understanding of the gospel. So what is he doing? He's there to really get to have a confirmation in his own heart that what he's doing by preaching the grace of God, that it's on target. Even though Titus was a Syrian, they accepted him as a brother without demanding that he first be circumcised. I met with them privately because false brothers had been secretly smuggled into church meetings. They were sent to spy on the wonderful freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Their agenda was to bring us back into bondage of religion. How did the Catholic Church get deceived? I have no clue. But I know this. I believe that when the Catholic Church started, they may have had a truth and a lot of things that were right. But they got what? Changed. And some form of bondage came back in. And what does that do? That brings a mixture. And it's not good, but it is what it is. But you must know that we did not submit to their religious shackles, not even for a moment, so that we might keep the truth of the gospel of grace unadulterated for you. Even those most influential among the brothers were not able to add anything to my message. Who they are before men makes no difference to me, for God is not impressed by their reputation or their education. So they recognize that I was entrusted with taking the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter was entrusted with taking it to the Jews. For the same God who empowered Peter's apostolic ministry to the Jews also flowed through me as an apostle to those who are Gentiles. So now you've got two apostles dedicated to bring life into two different regional groups. Today, there is a hunger for a lot of the religious folks to reconnect with their Jewish roots. And that's what happened to us many years back. We were pressed to take time with the Jewish feasts because they are God's feasts. And so it's not because we force anybody. It is a gift that God has given us, and it's a revelation that he personally gave to me. And so we take time to celebrate the feasts in the fall. We celebrate the feasts that are in different seasons, because that's what the Jews did. But it's not a law thing. It's a grace gift that if you obey, certain benefits and blessings will come to you. So if you'll put your hand over your heart and close your eyes, say, Holy Spirit, I'm catching on. Just like Paul. When I become an ambassador, I represent Jesus. So when I give a word or a prayer or an encouraging, whatever type of gift that I have in me will come out of my mouth. If Jesus is alive in there, then love's going to come out. If there's something else in there, it might be religious. And if it's religious, it's not from God. I was saved by grace. And grace alone. That's his favor to me. Amen? And amen.